Adam.
Yes.
Are you wearing cologne?
No.
I think you are. It has a ship on the bottle, too.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I'm going to start this again. This was just...
Adam, I don't understand where you're going.
We have a girl in the clubhouse, Adam.
But what was the I knew you were going to get to that, but what was the ship on the bottom?
Oh, it's a long story. You don't know Old Spice?
Yeah, I do, but is that what you're getting?
Yeah. This is the worst opening ever.
You should.
And welcome to episode 93 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always,
is Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And we have a special guest once again, Adam.
We do?
It's not Dawn.
Not Dawn this time?
No, we have a girl in the clubhouse.
Wow.
So,
that's new.
I'd like to welcome Amber Hughes.
Hello.
Welcome, Amber.
Also from...
Thank you. Vancouver, BC.
All Canadian. I was just noticing because we talked a couple weeks ago, Adam.
Yeah.
When you said we were on the A team, I just realized Amber could also fit on the A team.
Triple A.
Sweet. Yeah.
I love it.
It was A team though. A team.
Well, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're gonna go with. But so Amber is a well. How about you tell us what you are, Amber?
Well, I'm a full-time professional wedding photographer in Vancouver. I've been shooting weddings for 5 years now. It's all I do. I actually don't do anything else. I don't shoot families or babies or anything like that. It's just weddings all the time.
You don't shoot all those other things?
No.
All right. It's nice to specialize.
Yeah, I realized a few years ago that it was actually taking my focus away from what I enjoyed most, which was weddings. So I decided... just to take the plunge and specialize, which is kind of scary because you never know if you're going to make that income up. But it's been a wonderful journey.
And Amber, you might know there was a bit of, should we call it a scandal?
Definitely a scandal.
That's kind of how I came to I guess, meet you online is I don't want to go into great detail because I feel like it would just be piling on. But somebody... borrowed your photographs for a little while?
Yeah, borrowed my photographs and didn't mention they were mine.
Right, there was somebody, a photographer in the States somewhere who had decided to build her portfolio using other people's text and photos. And it sort of blew up. It was pretty amazing to watch on Twitter once David Hobby had tweeted it.
Oh, it was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It was like the internet cracking. It just awoke and took on a life of its own.
Yes, and it got to the point after about an hour, because I was watching this happen kind of live online with everybody else, and everybody was kind of tweeting, hey, can you believe this? Can you believe this? It got to the point where, although I don't condone the behavior, obviously, I know that's a pretty controversial stand to take, but... I did feel bad. I felt a little bit bad for the lady in question because she just got such a wave of...
Well, you know, I have to say, like, I'm the one who had it done to me and had my photos stolen and everything, and I was obviously upset about it, but I felt awful about what people were doing to her. I don't think it was right. But, you know, it's kind of the thing with the internet crack, and you can't really stop it once it starts.
No. So, Adam, you saw that, didn't you?
I did. I actually I found out about it the day it happened from Dwayne, and he kind of said, "Hey, did you hear about this?" And so, like, yeah, it moved around the photography community real fast.
That's right. One of our guests we've had on the show before, Adam knows off mic, and so he was talking about it as well. So it kind of made the rounds to the physiotherapy world, even.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the physiotherapy / photography world. There's a crossover.
So the whole silver lining of the whole situation is you got to be on the Two Hosters Photo Show. So
we call, you know, if it came to that, it's pretty good.
Yeah. This is where you really go big time, Amber.
Yeah, it paid off.
Whole new level. Hey, Al, did the girl in question take any of your photos?
No.
What does that say about you?
I felt a little bit embarrassed about that. Like, what's wrong with you? Why couldn't you steal from me?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right.
Oh, well, I forgot to say no to all your stuff. No, okay. I don't know what you're talking about, Adam. This isn't funny. Next topic. So this, first off, what did you shoot this week?
I shot photos, baby photos for some friends at my parents' house. I went to Victoria last weekend for my father's 65th birthday / Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So because we were coming to town, I was asked to do some photos. A couple of people on my brother's side of the family that have 6-month-old babies. So there's two particular babies that were going to be coming to the party, and they asked if I would do some photos. So I don't know if you've ever come across this situation, but I was taking photos of these babies. So you have 2 6-month-old babies in a small room, I'm going to say roughly 300 square feet, with 2 couches and 19 people gathered around.
Ooh.
And trying to maneuver back and forth in amongst these people who are watching this whole thing like it's a show, and then trying to get half decent pictures of, and natural pictures of both the babies, and then the parents with the babies, and then mom, dad, and the brother with the babies, and oh, just an absolute, I'm literally, you know, climbing over people to get different angles. I was surprised. I was pretty happy with how the photos turned out, but have never encountered anything more frustrating than trying to do that in kind of environment. It felt like it was a theater.
Why were there that many people?
Well, that was for the sort of the Thanksgiving dinner, and that's when they were going to be coming over, and they thought they'd make it easy on me by just doing it while everybody was there. But of course, everyone was now interested and wanted to, and there just really wasn't a good place to do it in my parents' house. Uh-huh. And so it ended up being in this room where everybody wanted to stand and watch. And I didn't know, like, I know some of them well enough, but I didn't know all of them well enough. And I just didn't want to be the bossy boots that was going to kick all the people out who are super interested, right? So, you know, I just thought, okay, people will see how much of a struggle this is, and they'll just kind of, you know, move out of the way. That just didn't happen.
Oh, no.
So, no, but I did get some good pictures, and then we went outside, and it was magic hour, and so then I got a bunch of pictures outside, and that was much easier because obviously I had more room to work with.
And how did you find the experience of shooting babies in general?
Okay, so here's my takeaway tip for people. I think I just got extraordinarily lucky because these 2 6-month-old babies were super cooperative. But I thought, okay, time of year, it's fall, there's pumpkins out. I had my mom pick up a pumpkin that I was going to use for the shoot because I was thinking 6-month-olds, I'm pretty good with the developmental milestones, knowing that 6-month-olds are probably just about sitting up. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, better at it than others. So I had them pick up a pumpkin that would just be about the right size so they could use it to essentially help them sit up. And these kids just marveled at the pumpkin. So it was some of the best pictures because they were just like enamored with this pumpkin. And, you know, then we'd get, you know, sometimes the stadium of people help me because everybody's chanting the baby's name, and they would look up and it would be happy because it's got this pumpkin. And so get a pumpkin for a 6-month-old baby shoot. There's my takeaway.
Great.
The end. So I did that, and I took a few pictures of my dad in different sort of setups in front of his house, and I took a family picture of us, and we went bowling, which will show up later in the challenge picture, and that posed a few challenges of its own, which we'll talk about when we get to that. So I think enough of me blathering. How about that?
And Amber, did you shoot anything this week?
I did, but nothing nearly as exciting to report as that. No pumpkins or babies or anything like that. I just did a pretty standard engagement session down in Granville Island. Nothing major to report. It went well.
Okay.
And but I have a question. When sure. You do this sort of thing, so you went down to Granville Island, which I know well. So when you do an engagement photo shoot, like how long are you going to spend doing something like that?
I usually keep it to 2 hours. I find an hour isn't long enough to really get my clients relaxed. Most people, when I'm shooting them, are very nervous at the beginning. And I find it takes a while for them to warm up and really let me in. So a lot of photographers will just do the 1 hour engagement session. I like to do 2 hours and just sort of take it slow, move to different locations, let them relax, and then let them be natural.
And what kind of lights are you bringing, or are you not bringing lights?
Well, mostly I do natural light, but if I am using, I actually do bring my lights with me as well. I just actually use two old Vivitar 2A3s with Pocket Wizards. That's my off camera setup basically, and I have my stands with me just in case I need them, and it's not too hard to just throw a light on there and throw it behind them or whatever I need.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about how much I feel for you, Adam, shooting babies with that many people in the room.
I wish I had a video of it, because it would have been great comedy to watch what I was doing, climbing over people and couches. And again, a small room, that many people in the way. And I wanted to shoot with the 70 to 200 on my camera, which is a crop sensor.
Oh, no.
Not a big enough room.
Yeah.
And people weren't super patient, because I was going to, you know, shoot some group shots with, I have a 30 millimeter prime that I use as well. But there's no way. There was no time. They weren't going to be patient enough for me to do that. So I did all with the 70 to 200, which is great for the close-ups of the baby and the pumpkin and stuff, but just not ideal for a group shot. So I'll send you some of the pictures. I was happy with how it all turned out in the end, but a complete gong show. So
yeah, not to take away from Amber's story, was more interesting, but I've been in your situation where it's, you want to just look at the people and say, you see me climbing over your lap, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that awkward for you?
That just sounds like some of the situations I've been in with wedding photography. Sometimes you're just in this room that's packed with people, and there's this ceremony going on. It's not the wedding ceremony. So often it's usually like a Mendy party or something like that. And there's just so many people, and it's like it must look very amusing from the outside trying to see me scramble through and get these photos.
I've done some of those before, some of the Mendy ceremonies and that, and that is difficult. It's one thing when it's just a packed situation with people that people that sort of need to be there. I can understand that, and it is awkward. It's when people who don't need to be there are in your way that it's really, and that happens at weddings all the time too. They say, just the close family over here, and then, you know.
And then there's everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to document the documentation of the documentation of the process.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, did anybody else bring a camera to the wedding? Good. Wonderful. So, mine was equally boring. I shot another baptism, Adam.
Great.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun.
How did it end?
Everybody got wet.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, it was good, because the minister, the priest, I don't know, what do you call it it's not my church, so okay. I don't know what you call the guy.
Let's go with minister.
The father, maybe?
Sure.
Anyways, I kind of thought he should have read the room better, because all the friends came with their kids, and so it was a big room full of 2-year-olds.
Right.
And less, and so at some point the kids just ran wild, and Emily started basically eating the all the Halloween decorations, which were apples. It was apples and walnuts.
Well, at least it was good for her.
Yeah. So, but once she did, all the other kids followed, and that quickly turned into that. Like, the kids were throwing walnuts around during the service. It was pretty funny, actually.
Awesome.
So, but the main reason I tell this story is that, for the second baptism in a row, they're for, you know, really good friends, but I did get a small token payment for the job.
Yeah.
They will go right into my lens repair fund.
Oh, yeah.
So I highly recommend this to anybody who has to end up, you know, doing favor shoots for friends. At least get $10 or something and put it into a shoebox, and for when your lens breaks.
It'll happen.
It will happen. I just got my 70 to 200 fixed over the summer, and it was, you know, what it was, $275 or something like that. So not terrible, but it kind of hits you. You don't think about that when you're doing favors for friends.
So, no, definitely not.
So there you go. There's no real challenges there. In
great.
So this week's photo challenge, however, Adam, why don't you introduce it, since it was kind of, you're the reason we did it.
The reason we did it was because I was going for my dad's 65th birthday party, and it was to be celebration or celebratory.
Okay. You want to? Whose do you want to start with, Adam?
Let's start with yours.
Good, because mine's okay. Go ahead. Okay, here we go. Champagne.
The great.
End. The end.
Well, no, I think you can go on a little bit and just tell us about the lighting, because you obviously did a little bit of lighting here. So how about you give us how you did this?
Okay, well, this is the B shot. We got champagne this night simply so I could take a photograph of it.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do was see if I could get a really cool photo of my wife popping the cork.
Yeah.
On the champagne. So I got all set up for that, and so I had, you know, basically got it all prepped and ready to go, handed her the bottle, and she couldn't quite hold it, and it popped before I could really get a picture of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it sounds like your wedding night.
Oh.
Family show.
Okay. Sorry about that, yeah.
Also, you're not wrong, but
it's got awkward.
Moving on. Anyway,
how'd you light it? How'd you light it?
Anyway, so that didn't happen. So this one is just a simple off camera flash, a Nikon SB28, fired with my CyberSyncs. If we're going to talk about, you know, what wireless triggers we use,
not really, but go ahead.
Well, we are. And okay. And basically it's just kind of behind, it's camera left and behind the subject, behind the champagne glass. The room, I darkened the room simply by stopping down to, I think, I'm going to say F8 at a 1/200th of a second on ISO 100. So all the ambient light was killed and all the light came from the flash.
Great.
And the main thing to take away here, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Mine is not a very good photo. I'm not putting this up there in the top 10 of ones I've taken. It was simply because it was a backup. It was, all right, well, the other one didn't work out. I need to have something. And the main reason you can tell it's not a good photo is because I didn't even take time to polish the glass.
I see that.
Yeah. So
you know what I feel
is
like
it bad
this
that
is...
I sorry, I was gonna say, is it bad that I noticed that earlier?
that you did notice?
I did. It was like, oh, fingerprints.
Oh no, not bad at all. No, that's the level of dedication we have here.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like this is that last scene in 8 Mile when, you know, you're the rapper that completely tears yourself down before the other people get a chance to, so it kind of takes the fun out of it.
I like how you just quoted 8 Mile like it was Moby Dick. You know that scene in 8 Mile, that pivotal scene when Kim Basinger gets mad at Alec Baldwin or something?
Yeah.
When do you think I've seen 8 Mile?
You've seen 8 Mile.
Yeah, in you know, 2001.
Yeah, it was a good show. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Anyways. other than that, yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about ambers.
Really, you want to?
All right.
You want?
It's the antithesis to your photo because it's really good.
You want to finish with yours, Adam? Seriously?
Well, I feel like it'd be rude to let our guests wait to last. I don't know.
Let's go with ambers. Now
we don't have to. Now you can be rude. We can go with mine.
No, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, Amber. What are we looking at here?
Well, basically, this is during an Indian reception. This is pretty much, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to many Indian weddings, but they're usually just loads of crazy dancing fun once the dancing starts.
Any energy left by day four?
You know, honestly, it's just so much fun, you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
The guy on the shoulders there, actually, he's actually the primary photographer for this wedding. I was just second shooting, but we're both really good friends with the groom. He's a wedding photographer as well. So he hired us to shoot his wedding. And basically, Scott, who's up on the shoulders, he was in from California. He'd been staying with the family for the whole week, and they'd kind of like basically fallen in love with him, and they decided they wanted to really bring him into the the dancing. So they grabbed him for the shot. But pretty much the way that this is lit is my standard reception dance floor lighting. I set it up at the beginning before any of the dancing starts, and it works for just about any situation. Do you want me to go into what exactly I do? Or
I do.
Okay, well, it's really simple. Pretty much I have two flashes. They're my Vivitar 283s. They're old workhorses from the 70s. I think I got them for $25 each on Craigslist. Nice thing about it, too, is actually I have quite a few of them just stashed just in case the ones that I use all the time break. I can, you know, just pull one out of a drawer and keep going.
Yep.
So I have them on light stands triggered by Pocket Wizard Plus 2s. They're pretty much one in either corner of the dance floor opposite me. So if I'm facing the dance floor, they're in the corners that I'm facing. And they're about a 45-degree angle towards the middle of the dance floor. I usually... And they're on manual power. I am all about manual for off-camera flash. There's just no other way. I think TTL is great and all, but manual flash just gives you the power. And for things like this, I knew that my flash was already set up and ready to go, and I didn't have to worry about it. So I could be focusing on the moment instead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the front light is actually just my on-camera flash. And I just have that pointed usually to the side, a little bit behind me. I'm just bouncing it off anything near me that can give it a nice side light.
And so the Pocket Wizards Plus 2, you're able to have the transmitter and your on-camera flashed on?
Yeah, what I use, I can't remember the exact name. I think it's called the Pocket Wizard Caddy. I got it from, Midwest Photography Exchange. They're like $10-$15, but basically they attach to your Pocket Wizard and they've got like a bungee cord. And you just elastic band it around your flash, and then you just use another cord to go into the PC port on the side of your camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It looks pretty intimidating when I have it all in my camera. But yeah. So basically, I start at the beginning of the dancing. I just set this all up, and I don't have to think about it, really. I mean, you know, I might change how much my flash is kicking out on my camera, depending on what mood I want. Like, sometimes during the first dance, I want it to be a little bit darker, a little bit moodier. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring that down a bit. But for the dance floor where everybody's all the action, then I'll bring it a little bit brighter, make it a little bit more kind of nightclubby.
That's the challenge I faced last week at the wedding I did in the gymnasium, is they had this nice, you know, moody lighting for the first dance, and every time I pop a flash at all on camera,
yeah,
it would just hit the white walls and, you know, be like, look like the mall.
Yeah, it's like the cleaning lights are on or something. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, that can be really challenging.
Yeah, that's great. That's the one thing Adam uses the, what do you call it? What are yours called, Adam?
They're the cheap Cactus V5 triggers.
Except, oh, I used to have those.
Except for the newest version, the version 5 or whatever, Adam's, he can have his on-camera flash on as well as the triggers. And that's the one thing can't do with my CyberSyncs, or apparently, unless I can try the move that you're doing, which I'd like to try now. But yeah, that would have helped me out a great deal.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, for me, it's all about having the backlight with a front light.
Yeah.
I like to see a little detail, too.
Yes.
So you just have one backlight here, and the one on is just the two lights.
It's two backlights. And
yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Great. Well, I love the photo. Right, just
thanks.
What's the f-stop here?
That's f4.
Okay.
I usually keep it at about F4 just because I find it can be a little bit difficult to get a lot of action on the dance floor. So I usually keep it there just to make sure I get people in focus.
Right.
And the lens?
The lens was actually, it's the kit lens that came with the 5D Mark II. It's the 24-105. I don't use it for anything else other than my dance floor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. That's the only time I ever use that lens. And for me, it's the perfect lens for it.
I know some people love that lens. Some people are ambivalent, but
I'm pretty ambivalent most of the time.
What's that?
I was saying
pretty ambivalent. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So no, I think it looks good. So far, I'm giving the slight edge to Amber on the challenge photo.
Yeah, just barely nixed you out there.
Right. A lot of it's the facial expressions, though. But I chose to go with an inanimate object, so. You know.
All right, then.
No, I like the colors. I like the sharpness. I like there's a certain look, as the French say, a certain I don't know what, but that really does it here. I love it.
And I love the fact that you've got just the in the bottom corner the person taking the photo of it. I love that. I absolutely love that.
I was going to say that. That was one of the main points I wanted to point out, because to me that's every wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah.
I'm photoshopping.
Sign of the times, right? Sign of the times.
Yep. Absolutely.
Actually, the funny thing is she's a wedding photographer too. She's a really good friend of mine, but she just had her little point and shoot with her.
Well, that's when you attend weddings, that's the better way to do it.
Yeah, no. I have taken my big camera with me before, and then you just end up almost working, which is, what is that?
You end up almost working or spending half the night making sure no one spills stuff on your camera.
That too, yes.
Yeah. People seem to not. Okay, let's have a look at Adams.
All right, time for the grand finale.
Yes. I still feel like we did this in the wrong order, but okay, let's end on this one. Well, that's not fair, because I want to point out now, any criticism will be directed at you and not your daughter, who I like.
Okay, yeah. All right. So this is in the bowling alley in Souk, British Columbia. No, not Souk, in Sydney, British Columbia. And in the dark, you obviously see the, this is like the midnight bowling. It's funny, we've been to this, it's a little mom and pop shop, five pin bowling alley. I think there's six lanes in the whole place. And every time we've been, and I think it's four times now, it's midnight bowling all the time. It's always midnight bowling. So
like
I've never had. Yeah, no, this is at noon. It opened at noon or 11:30 or something, and we're the first ones in, and it's already, it's like lights go down and it's time to bowl.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. So anyway, so this is bowling in the dark. So I had a flash on camera flagged with the black foamy, and I didn't want to light up the whole place. I just wanted to get a little bit of light on my daughter. And I this is a 70-200 at f4 because I wanted to have some kind of exposure. And yeah, I just fired the black foamy off of a spot above and behind me and just got a little bit of bounce back on her, and that's it.
Great. This is a really challenging situation for focus and all that stuff, but no, it really is a good shot. I like this shot immediately when I saw it, because it does say celebration, and I love the enthusiasm on Sarah's face.
Yeah, I think she picked up a spare here.
Okay. I feel like she could have done anything there and been that celebratory.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's pretty excited about most things, so.
Okay. I don't have much to criticize about this. I mean, probably could be a little sharper, but considering the situation you're in, job well done.
It's ISO 1600 at 1/100th of a second shutter speed. So I, again, with an unstabilized 70-200 millimeter lens, in that situation, I was pretty happy. I did. If she was standing still, I think I could have got it sharper. But with her running back towards the camera, I was pretty happy with what I was able to get.
Okay.
So there's my defense of why it isn't perfectly sharp.
Yeah. All right, and
doing the best I can, man.
You know, sometimes emotion trumps sharpness. I just have to put it out there.
Yeah.
Exactly, Amber. Exactly.
Well, I believe that's what I said, Adam. Let's not pile on me here.
I like it better when she says it.
No, you're right. It's oftentimes there'll be times I'll be delivering a photo to a client, like at a wedding or something like that, and I'll have to debate, you know, internally, do I give this to them or not? It's a great moment. It's a little bit unsharp, and ultimately, I give them the picture anyway, and I kind of, you know, I take the ego hit, saying, okay, it was nice, but here you go. Here's a real moment that you can't get back, and that's more important. So.
And I actually had that exact thought in my head before I put that picture in, because I knew that would be your comment. Is like, oh yeah, it's not perfectly sharp. But I was thinking that this is an exact talking point, is the fact that the moment was good, and I didn't have anything that captured that same celebratory moment that was sharper.
So you came ready to scrap.
Yep, came ready.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we all know who the clear winner is. The black background. That's the way... It's the opposite of white space.
Right.
All right. So, all right, well, that's the photo challenge this week.
Before we get into, because I'll probably stop talking from here on out, I just wanted to mention that I was at Costco today, and they had I was thinking of Christmas photos and, you know, like a cheap background, and I came across super wide wrapping paper in all sorts of different Christmas themes, and I bought a roll. I think it was $12, and I thought, wow, it's about, I want to say it's probably about 4.5 feet wide, and I thought I'm going to string it up on the background set, and you know, for $12 I'm going to get a couple of Christmas background photos, and it's a huge roll too, and I'm going to wrap my presents this year. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there. Super cheap background. I don't know how it's going to handle the flashes and the light, but I think I'm going to manufacture something and put it out there.
All right, looking forward
there
to
you
that
go.
In October.
$12 Costco.
Yes, and
that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, well, that's it. Let's get into this week's topic. I don't know what to say. I appreciate the tip. It's a good idea. I didn't know where to go with it from there.
No, that's it. You didn't have to go anywhere with it.
Okay, I feel like I did. I feel like I know you're like a delicate ego. I know. I don't want you to hanging up again. Okay.
Okay, I won't hang up.
Yeah. So this week's topic is. I think we're going to is wedding photography, and I've been wanting to have Amber on the show for quite some time. But as you can imagine, if you're a popular wedding photographer, August and September at least are a write off.
Oh, pretty much for me, it was from May onwards.
Hey, that's you don't have to apologize for being successful. That's great. Like that's
it's a good problem to have.
It is. So, I want to talk a lot about weddings because, first of all, weddings are really easy. It's an easy business to get into, wedding photography. Mm. It's very difficult to be good at it and successful. But everybody, in theory, everybody can do it. But they are wildly difficult.
Oh, yeah.
To do. But the main reason that I'd like to talk about it for you know, the mass audience is that it also, if you get into wedding photography, you can learn an awful lot. Like, to me, it is photography boot camp.
I would definitely agree with that.
So, the other thing about wedding photography is it until recently, like the last couple of years, it's changed a lot. But it sort of had a bad name in the photography industry. Like, if you were shooting weddings, it was, for a while, it was, well, you couldn't cut it anywhere else.
Yeah, and you have visions of people, you know, peering at each other around a tree, or all the groomsmen on one knee around the bride, or
yep.
All those horrible, cheesy wedding photos you've seen out there. Yeah.
Yep. And now, see, when I first kind of got into this, I went to film school, you know, many years ago, and just at the beginning of the digital video revolution, and when I came out... I had a couple friends who got married, and I had just finished school. I had no money, so my gift to them was, hey, I'll just shoot your wedding. I had no intentions of being a wedding video guy. And I shot their weddings, and they liked them and showed their friends, and next thing you know, I was getting hired. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go down that path, but after a while, you can't just turn down jobs when you're starving.
Yeah.
And so I ended up being the wedding video guy, except for... Even then, it was still a bad name, but I learned so much about storytelling and the technique just from jumping into the fire that it served well in, you know, regular film and video work. And that's what I find with wedding photography. So that's how it's going to apply. So, Amber, you told us you've been doing this for 5 years professionally?
Wedding photography I've been doing for 5 years. I actually started 7 years ago. Originally, I started out being a portrait photographer, headshots, newborns, maternity, basically you know, a gun for hire. Whoever needed photography, I was there, except for weddings. I would not do weddings. And it was because of what you say. I had that vision of all those cheesy wedding photos. That's all, you know, I really knew of wedding photography. And then on top of that, you know, it just sounded so stressful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's, you know, what if I miss the kiss? What if I, you know, what if I drop my camera, you know, anything like that. It was a really scary idea for me to go into it, and I just swore I would never ever do it, which is really funny that that's all I do now.
Right.
And so it was about 2 years into my business, and my friends were getting married. Sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar, yeah.
And basically, yeah, they didn't have anyone else to do their photography. I was going to be at the wedding anyways, very dear friends of mine, and they really, really, really wanted me to do it. And so I said yes, and I did it, and it was scary and terrifying like I thought it would be, but at the same time it was really rewarding. I saw that it's an opportunity to be creative on the fly, which you don't really get with a lot of other photography, like just to that level.
Right.
And then just the raw emotions. I mean, when you do a portrait session, people are they're a little nervous, so they've got their, you know, their smiles and they're a little stiff, and you got to work with them and loosen them up. Whereas at a wedding, usually you just can't help yourself. Emotions happen, and those moments happen, and I love that amazing challenge of having all of this just sort of opening up in front of you, and you're just there to capture it all.
And at an alarming pace.
At an alarming pace, and yeah. Everything's just crazy, and the light is all over the place, and there's all these stressful situations, but yeah.
Do you shoot RAW?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah, that's the main reason I shoot RAW at a wedding, is the lighting is all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know wedding photographers who shoot only JPEG, and I mean, they do great. There's some of the best wedding photographers out there who do it, but for me, RAW is just the way to go. I mean, I like to keep my lighting fairly consistent as it is, but there's just always going to be that random time mm-hmm. that you need it.
Right. So before you start your business, how do you learn to take pictures? Like, did you have a background in it as a hobby?
Well, actually, yeah, I did. I've actually loved photography pretty much my whole life. It was about 7 when I first started taking photos. I know that sounds ridiculous, but my dad had an old TLR camera from the 50s. And I was absolutely fascinated with it. It was like the coolest thing that you could possibly ever use. And so he taught me how to take photos. I remember, you know, just him teaching me to slow down and take the moment and look at all the little happenings around me. And, you know, do I like the little story that's happening over here? Or do I like the way the light looks there? And he was really a major force in me establishing my love in photography. But yeah, from there, it was really, to be perfectly honest, it was really my own steam. I mean, I haven't gone to school for it. I've taken some, workshops, but mostly it's just reading, testing, trying, failing, trying again, learning, and just going with every little thing that I learn, just building on it.
I think it's a great time to technology wise,
for
that very thing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You can have access to all kinds of information out there, and like you said, do exactly what you just said. Now the downside is you are competing with a million other people. But if you do it well, there's no better time than right now to learn and to do this professionally.
Oh, absolutely.
So how long did it take you once you started shooting weddings? How long did it take you to get, you know, confident at it?
Well, you know, I think it would be, well, it was really about 2 years, 2 to 3 years that took me. That was just to get in enough situations that, you know, unknown situations with unknown light and just be thrown into them and conquer them to the point that I gained the confidence that I can pretty much go into any situation and bang it out. I mean, that, now let me just say, like, and I've talked to pretty much every wedding photographer that I know in town, and we all agree that it doesn't matter how many weddings you've done and how confident you are, you still get nervous the night before. You still do. honestly, it's like a stage actor getting stage fright just before they go on. Even though they know they've done it a million times and they know their lines and they know they'll do fine, you still get that kind of nervous tension, like, okay, this is really big and this is a really dark church and okay, you know, have I got this? Am I remembering this part about it? You know, I think it's all a part of just wanting to be the best. You have that kind of that tension inside of you.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how the full-time wedding photographers do it. Week in, week out. I mean, you shoot in the high season. You shoot, I mean, at least one wedding a week, right?
At least, sometimes two a week.
Sometimes two, and I did two weddings this year. I think,
yeah,
maybe three, doesn't matter, but I think it was two, and I get so keyed up the night before and the morning of, I think...
Well, part of that is that you're not doing it that often, so it's been a while since the last time you did the last one, so yeah, it makes you more nervous, whereas, I mean, I've got my stuff, my gear, pretty much, you know, it's got its place, I've got my batteries going, like, it's, you know, it's just the same thing I did the week before, so it's different variables.
Right. Yeah, I guess once you're into it, like that's the thing, is as soon as I'm three shots into my day, no longer nervous.
Yeah,
everything's fine. You don't really have time to be nervous at that point. I just had the wedding I just shot last week. The bride and groom were basically had allotted an hour of a portrait session prior to the wedding, like the ceremony. Mm-hmm. Just because the way it all worked out, it's a long story how it's done in Germany, but I don't like to do it before the ceremony, but. Anyways, they had allotted an hour, and they were 45 minutes late.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen.
So we had 15, and I didn't know, I didn't know if they were coming. I was getting really nervous. Am I in the right place? You know, I didn't want to, and I was, but by the time we got shooting, I had 15 minutes to get all the entire portrait session done. So that was, I was sweating a little bit there.
Yeah, I've had that before, and sometimes it's almost like time slows down, and it's amazing what you can manage to get in those 15 minutes.
Oh, I ended up getting, I ended up getting like 12 or 15 different setups in that
15 minutes.
It's just that they're all within, you know, a 12-foot radius of each other.
Yeah.
So, how does hiring you work? Like, let's say, how do people find you, first of all?
Well, actually, a lot of people... a lot of my clients are word of mouth. They're coming referrals from their friends, other photographers. That's where a lot of my business comes from. And that's actually part of my business is really trying to make a really great experience for my clients. Mm-hmm. Because I want them to then go on and rave about me to their friends and you know, also I want them to be my friends too, because I like most of my clients. They're really great people. So, but yeah, because I want to create this boutique experience for people, then that makes them my advertising. And, you know, there's no better advertisement than someone actually saying I had this wonderful experience.
That's how I experienced it as well. It's great. Like, It's one thing to have, you know, the website and all that stuff for people to see. But if you can create your clients, like my clients, if I can get them to insist to their friends that they have to hire me,
mm-hmm.
the rest is done. So that sounds like what's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I do get some people, you know, just randomly finding me on Google, but that's about it. I don't do any advertising in magazines or anything like that.
Do they still have wedding fairs?
They do. I've never been to one.
Right. Me neither.
Well, it seems like a lot of money to spend, a lot of time, a lot of stress, a lot of effort, and then it's just, you know, you're just a face in a crowd. There's so many different wedding photographers there. It's really hard to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would rather people kind of find me through their friends and seek me out and be impressed by me and then come to me.
And once they do find you and they want to hire you, do we meet ahead of time? How does that go?
Usually, unless someone isn't in the same town with me, I meet with all my clients beforehand. I really am a big supporter of that. Usually, we'll get together for a meeting. We'll review some of my albums, look at some slideshows, and just really talk about their wedding and talk about who they are and just sort of get to know each other. I'm really a quirky, kind of silly person, so I try to show them my personality a bit during the meeting. I used to go into meetings and try to be very, you know, professional and very low-key with my personality and try to appeal to just about anyone. But now I try to really show off my personality and just be myself, make my weird jokes that I make and stuff like that. And I find through doing that, it's almost like a litmus test for how well we're going to get along and how well we're going to understand each other. And through that, I get the clients who I really click with. And I, most of my clients who book me are those clients now. And then the people who might feel like a little bit off with, you know, they're not sure if they really mesh with me, they usually end up going to another photographer, and that's totally fine. And I'm definitely a supporter of that, because to me, I feel a wedding photographer is there with you throughout the entire day. They're there from the moment you start getting your makeup on till, you know, the last dance and all the little moments in between that nobody else gets to see. And if you're not really comfortable with that photographer, if you don't really have a good mesh with them, you don't feel like you could be friends with them, it's going to be very difficult to just be yourself.
Absolutely. Do you keep in contact with any of the brides or grooms afterwards?
Oh, absolutely. I actually really try to encourage people to add me on Facebook. Most of my brides and grooms too have me as friends on Facebook. And I have people spanning back, you know, 3-4 years that I still keep in contact with. I see their children have been born. Sometimes some of them, it depends on how close we got, but some of them I'll visit them if we get a chance, if they've moved out of town or something. I have a bride and groom that I absolutely adore who live up in Kamloops now. They just went on a 2-year backpacking honeymoon of the world, which was just amazing. And then they just moved to Kelowna. And I happened to be there recently, and we got together, and it's just so great to see them again. It's, you know, because again, you've gotten to know them so well. I take the time to really, you know, hear their stories and their personalities and sort of just, you know, it's like I become really good friends with you, and then that helps me take those photos of you.
I exactly, yeah. Great. What does your wedding day look like? How long do you shoot on one wedding day, for instance, generally?
Well, it really depends. I had one wedding that was only 3 hours this summer, and then I had one that was 16. So it really depends on what people want covered. I would say my average is usually 10 hours. That's usually standard. But yeah, like I say, it depends on what they want covered. Usually I start off in the morning and I'll get the bride getting ready, makeup, getting to the dress, that sort of thing. Then it's usually to the ceremony, usually not very much time in between.
Right.
And then family photos, like crazy, which is always the fun part, trying to get everybody wrangled off into a different location, make sure everybody's looking at the camera. There's always one guy who is not looking at the camera for some reason, even though he's posed for a family photo. You'd think he'd look at the camera.
But you'd expect that at this point. I find the biggest challenge in that situation is no matter how much you protest, there's always somebody behind you with a camera.
There always is.
And for some reason, there's that one person who will look at that guy instead.
I know, and it's usually someone important too, and you're like, really? Then we have portraits. It's different all over the world, but usually here in Canada we get about 2 hours for portraits. Mm-hmm. That's pretty standard. And it's usually, at least in Vancouver, people want two different locations. They want some place, you know, cool and urban, and then maybe like some natural or something like that. So they really like, they want it the full on like shoot during their wedding. So that's usually got the 2 hours. Then it's straight into the reception. And bear in mind, usually during this whole time, we probably haven't eaten. Like we're just going this entire time. And by the time we get to the reception, you know, we go in, we have to make sure we're ready for them coming in for their first, you know, their big announcement, and then they come in, and there's some speeches, and we're getting hungrier and hungrier.
Yep.
And more tired. And then eventually it's time to eat, and I usually get maybe 10 minutes, and I've gotten really efficient at getting through the buffet line and getting my food down really quickly.
Yeah,
I feel like I would be good at that part.
Yeah, I know. It's a talent.
But the talent, I think, lies in the fact that you, like, I tend to want to eat early so that, because I know as soon as the eating's done, stuff's going to start happening.
Well, you know what I do? I actually discuss it with them beforehand, and I tell them, you know, it's usually best if we go up just after yourself and your family.
Yep.
And even if we're at a table that's slated to be later. And usually, and if I explain it to them why that, you know, we need to be ready for the speeches because they're going to start right away, or I want to get my light set up because I know we're going to go straight into the first dance or something like that, they're always on board.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of aunts and uncles who look at you sideways, but
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I usually just give them a sheepish grin and kind of explain, and then get back to eating.
Yeah. So once you're done shooting the wedding, which the 10-hour day, what does the following week look like, or the following post time? How long does it take you to post a wedding?
Well, it usually takes me a week to a week and a half, but. See, there is a backlog, of course, because I'm shooting, you know, two weddings a weekend or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get piled up. I usually tell people it'll take 8 to 10 weeks for their weddings. And that's just because you never know what might happen, or how busy you're going to get. There's also engagement sessions in there that you're shooting. So it's just to give yourself that extra time and then get it to them early, and then they'll be like, so pleased.
Yep, absolutely. What do you focus on during the day? Like, is your focus more on the candid moments? Do you like doing the posed shots, or is it?
It's really a mix of both for me. I really like the candid moments. I think those are some of the most fun ones. But also, I do like pose as well. Obviously, if you look at my work, I do pose. But for me, my favorite poses are the ones that then get candid. So basically, I've posed them, and then I let them make it their own.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, by all means, I think your answer is better than my question. So,
your question was,
yeah, and it was gonna. You didn't let me finish. It was.
Please go ahead.
That was the end of it. So, Adam, you want to field that one?
Yeah. No,
I'm thanks. Surprised you're still here.
Yeah, no, I'm actually quite engaged here. I like listening to Anders. Sorry, I just choked on my own words. I like listening to Amber speak.
Great. Good. Well, why don't we shut up then?
Yeah, just go ahead, Amber. Tell us a story.
Tell us about your pose shots turning into candid shots. I think no, I'm not joking. This is really my weak spot, if I have one, which I do, Adam, is posing people. I don't like to pose people because. Generally, my method is to get people to get comfortable themselves, and then I work on the posing a little bit within that.
But, well, you know, I find it works better the other way around if you give them a general pose and then let them get comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually most people, if you try to get them to just get comfortable, they get nervous and they're like, are we doing this right? Do I have like wooden robot arms right now? They just get really, I know I do. I hate being in front of the camera. And it's, you know, it's hard to just act natural off the bat. Whereas if you give someone a little bit of structure, they feel more comfortable because they feel like, okay, we're doing this right. And then what I do is, like, usually I have sort of an idea of what I want out of the shot. Like, I want them here, and I want them facing each other and, you know, her arm like this or something like that. And so I'll get them within the parameter of what I want, and then I'll distract them. So I'll start, you know, I'll take a few shots. I'll be like, oh, that's really great. And then I'll kind of talk to them a little bit, or I'll give them something to focus on about each other or something like that, to the point that they're not really aware of the fact that they're still in this pose, but they're, you know, they kind of get lost in that moment.
Is that where it comes in? Is that where it's nice to know the couple prior?
Definitely. Definitely.
That's what I
try. And that's why I make it really big point of getting to know people. And especially I actually include engagement sessions with all of my wedding packages. And that's why, is because I want to have that opportunity before the wedding to get to know you guys, chat a bit more, make my silly jokes, make right. sure you laugh at them.
That's the one thing I try to achieve when I do pose shots, is I try to, like, I do pose my subjects, but I want it to sort of reflect honesty. You know, yeah. I don't want it to be the, you know, I don't want it to look completely posed. I want, like, you know, would they interact like this in real life? So if you get to know the people ahead of time, if you come in blind and just really don't know these people at all, that can be very difficult to do.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely agree with that. Which is, yeah, again, why I've only had one situation where I had a wedding where I had not met them before. And that was, it was a little bit weird, but luckily it was a destination wedding. And we did have a couple days beforehand where I could sort of, it was almost like speed dating. I got to know them that way, but so it made it a little bit easier. But
do your clients, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say it was a little bit more awkward, definitely.
Do your clients expect quality or quantity?
Quality, I would say. I've never had anyone complain about how many photos they've gotten.
And how many photos can you expect from a 10-hour day, roughly?
Well, I probably deliver more than most photographers do. Okay. I shoot a lot. Mm-hmm. And I usually find I end up with about 100 photos per hour
that I deliver. That you deliver?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, I know.
No, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the thing is, if you can deliver quality, which, you know, if you look at your website, you'll see that you do, and deliver, you know, a lot of variety, then, you know, no wonder you're busy. That's, you know, the situation. I find a lot of my clients, they even, my recent clients wanted to see all the discards as well.
And I thought, I've had that.
Do you really want to see that? But like they appreciate the quality, but they do want to have, you know, they want all 1,200 pictures.
They want it just in case, yeah.
Yeah, and I try to explain to them that, no, you don't.
You really don't.
Yeah, you know, they're all out of focus like Adam's challenge picture, but... except they're good, though, so...
No, can I just say something before you talk yourself in circles?
Yeah.
At a point about, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes ago, you can rewind it and listen to it later, Amber had an amazing analogy. I didn't get to say anything because you quickly, you know, jumped into something else, but an amazing analogy about how, you know, the night before a wedding is like an actor getting stage fright. And I just wanted to say that was a better analogy than all the analogies you've done on the previous 93 episodes. It made sense. It was succinct. She didn't take an hour to get there. So I just wanted to let you know that you should go back and listen to that.
Okay.
For future analogy making.
Yep.
Glad I could help.
That's it. Well,
I appreciate you waking up long enough to get a jab at me, Adam. That ultimately I'm going to cut out because, hey.
Sorry.
I have that power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is a good analogy. So, what advice can you offer to a hobby photographer? Because oftentimes, that's how a lot of people get started is, you know, I won't hire a wedding photographer. My Uncle Bob has a camera.
Yeah.
He can just shoot it. Can you offer any advice to a hobbyist who's been asked by a friend to shoot their wedding?
Well, there's a couple things that I would say. First off, I would say, you know, don't get overly confident. If, you know, it's one thing to take really good portraits. It's an entirely different thing to photograph a wedding. And it's something that it should be taken very seriously. You should definitely brush up on lighting. For me, I would say it would be a really good opportunity to just learn as much as you can about every different lighting situation. Natural light, indoors, what will work best, how to use your flash, that sort of thing. There's going to be a multitude of different lighting situations that you can't in any way expect that are going to pop up. And it's really important to be as prepared as you can for those. And honestly, even just practicing before the wedding comes up with your friends and family, with anyone, it will help you a lot. That would be my biggest thing. The second thing that I would say, and I see this happen all the time, and this just drives me crazy and it's really sad, is not bringing enough backup gear. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people going to weddings with just one camera, maybe one or two lenses, one flash, not enough batteries, things like that. And it just breaks my heart because, you know, anything can happen. And it's great. You've got this great camera. You've never dropped it before, but, you know, there's always a first time. And it would really suck if it was right before the ceremony started. You know, that's something that I'm very passionate about. This is someone's moment. They can't get this back. So I bring a probably ridiculous amount of backups just in case, but that's just because it's that important to me. And I it's just not the time to be taking the chance. If for some reason you don't have access to more gear, you can always rent it. There's rental places everywhere. And make sure you have enough memory. Make sure you know that where all that gear is inside and out, just so you can grab it on the fly and go. That's a really big thing.
Got that, Adam?
Got it.
Excellent. My advice, your first bit sounded a lot like my first advice, is to just say no.
Yeah.
I'm not doing your wedding.
Pretty much that, too. I mean, you know, it's very, it's tempting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, you know, if they're offering you money and, you know, you've always wanted to give it a go, but it's not the time to be seeing if you're good at it. You know, oh, I'll just give it a try.
Right.
It's really, you know, it is a huge challenge. And I think a lot of people get lured into it thinking, well, how hard could it be? I've been to weddings and I've gotten some great shots before. It's a lot different than that. And
it really is. If they persist and they really insist that they want to shoot your wedding, I would calibrate expectations. I think that's the mm-hmm. biggest thing to do. Much like any job, as I, you know, make sure you under-promise and over-deliver.
Exactly.
But the important thing, and this is a big takeaway, I think, is charge something. Even if it's a favor for a friend or whatever. And not because of your lens repair fund. Just because you'll find that your subjects, the people involved, will take it a little more serious if they have to pay something.
Yeah.
Even if it's $20, all of a sudden they're invested. If it's just, it's a freebie, who cares?
You know, I would say, you know, a good route to go would be to have them cover just the how much it'll cost for you to rent the extra gear. And that way, you've got that covered,
mm-hmm.
and they're paying something. I mean, they don't need to necessarily know that's where the money's going.
Right.
But that, I think that's a really good way to go. And then that way, you're not having that excuse of, oh, well, I couldn't afford to get the extra gear, and oops, I didn't get your ceremony.
Great. All good tips. Adam, are you still there?
I am here and listening.
Were you writing a lot of that down?
I don't plan to shoot anybody's wedding anytime soon, but I will keep it all in the back of my mind just in case.
Just in case.
Well, I feel like a lot of those tips would apply to other photography as well, Adam.
Yeah, no, they would for sure. But I think I would take the route that you were saying, and if someone just asked me to shoot their wedding, I'd probably say, why don't you give Amber a call?
Well, done. Thank you very much.
Got a challenge for next week, Adam? I got one.
Sure, go ahead.
Very specific. I don't know why I picked it. Well, I know why I picked it, because I thought about weddings. I thought about what time of year it is. So I'm going to say this week's challenge is something church in autumn.
Church in autumn.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds thrilling.
You have to make it thrilling. That's it. Right. So that's the challenge. Right. Get that out of the way before you forget. Amber, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
But now, more importantly, where can people find you?
Well, you can check me out at my website. It's amberhughes.ca. Or you can go to my blog, which is where my most recent work gets posted. That's blog.amberhughes.ca.
Which we will obviously put links to this on our show notes.
Well, thank you.
And check all that out. And I'm sure people can find your Facebook and your Twitter and all that.
Yes, actually, my Facebook, if you go to Facebook, I have a page up. It's Amber Hughes Photography. I think it's facebook.com/AmberHughesPhotography is where you would go.
Great. So I encourage everybody listening to go check that out. I meant to mention it at the top of the show so that people could look at this. Wow. But I'm sure they can Google it at the top of the show if you're listening now. I don't have a big respect for the space-time continuum. It's...
That time is relative.
Exactly. So definitely go check out her photos. I highly recommend it. Even if you're like Adam and have no interest in weddings aside from the buffet line, you're going to learn a lot from what you see. So
absolutely, and I did check out Amber's website, and I think there's some great ideas there, just angles and lots of different unique poses, things that a lot of neat ideas in one space, and I won't just copy and paste them off of your website.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Wow. I'll try to create something of my own, just getting some ideas from some of the things you've done.
Wow, that's a bold stand.
Yeah, that's how the learning occurs.
Great. And Adam, where can people find all your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Great.
And your stuff, of course, Al.
I'm just going to start posting at SchwartzChronicles.com.
Because my wife has been kind of slack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, full-time job. You can find my stuff at AlanNatridge.com, and the two of us, as always, at twohosers.com, where you can find the Twitters and the what have yous. Whatever you need to find, you can find there. So that's it. Thanks for listening. Until next week, for Adam and Amber, this is Alan saying get out there and make better photos.